Hi, I'm music host Lauren Rico, and this October, I'm inviting you to see Iceland with me. It's a place of dramatic beauty, roaring waterfalls, quiet coastlines, and skies so dark you can actually see the northern lights. We'll explore by day, unwind in the Blue Lagoon, and let the landscape set the pace. The trip runs October 2nd through 8th. Details are at WSHU.org.
You're listening to WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Governor Hochul touts water infrastructure investments on Long Island. New Haven reaches an agreement with teachers over pay increases and benefits. A plan for a cannabis greenhouse in Riverhead Town is now in limbo, plus how Connecticut's Jim Himes is using his limited power in Trump's America. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Governor Kathy Hochul rallied with hundreds of labor union workers on Long Island last week, urging the Trump administration to reverse its ban on offshore wind projects. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports.
Hochul says the state will invest almost $4 billion over the next 5 years for water infrastructure projects statewide. She announced the funding at a meeting of business leaders in Woodbury.
You have world-class natural beauty, and the fact that this is an island gives us a special responsibility to protect the waters and the environment.
Details on specific projects the money will fund are expected to come Tuesday at the governor's State of the State address. Nassau and Suffolk counties have been working for years to remove harmful chemicals like PFAS from drinking water and convert more homes and businesses from septic tanks to sewers. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
The city of New Haven has reached an agreement for a 3-year contract with its teachers union. WSHU's Janice Roman reports.
The New Haven chapter of the Federation of Teachers announced the tentative contract alongside the city school board. It includes a 13.5% pay increase over the next 3 years. It improves health care benefits and gives teachers more prep days at the start of the school year. Mayor Justin Elliker says 92% of the teachers voted in favor of the contract after several rounds of negotiation.
A large number of teachers voted to support it. And the process, while challenging in many ways, was remarkably inclusive.
The new contract runs through summer 2029. The ratified contract will head to the Board of Education and then to the Board of Alders for review and a vote. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
This year, America will celebrate her 250th birthday, and WSHU is leading up to the milestone with a new series hosted by government and civics reporter Molly Ingram. It's called The Making of Us, where we'll explore some of the things that make America, America.
July 4th will mark the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. The milestone comes amid a period of rapid change for the country, making it a good time to reflect on how we got here. The series will explore topics like the First Amendment, the role of federalism, and what life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness really means. Do you have questions or topics you'd like us to explore? Let us know. Look for The Making of Us at WSHU.org. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Not all influence in Congress is loud. A conversation on how Jim Himes of Connecticut is proving that point is coming up. Thousands of protesters gathered across Long Island and Connecticut over the weekend following the killing of Renee Good in Minnesota by an ICE agent. Demonstrators denounced what they see as increasing violence from federal authorities against Americans. The Trump administration has defended the Minnesota shooting, saying the agent was acting in self-defense. Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman will be sworn in for a second term this evening as he also runs for governor of New York. He's expected to immediately sign a bill that bans protesters from coming within 10 feet of a person entering or leaving a religious site. Connecticut gubernatorial candidate Ryan Fazio has fundraised the $250,000 needed to qualify for public campaign financing. The Republican state senator from Greenwich is in a primary race with former New Britain Mayor Aaron Stewart, who has also qualified for the program. Riverhead town officials dealt a blow to a cannabis company's plan to build a greenhouse in Calverton. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio explains.
Cannabis company Brother Bear Canna had proposed an almost 35,000 square foot greenhouse where they'd grow and package up recreational marijuana products. But the Riverhead Zoning Board shot down two applications for variances, one to allow higher fences and another to allow building materials that don't absorb rainwater. It's not clear yet if the company will appeal the denials or submit a new plan. The greenhouse has drawn opposition from town residents who raised concerns about increased traffic and the odor from cannabis at a public meeting last month. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
U.S. Representative Jim Himes of Connecticut's 3rd District is a member of the minority in Congress. How is he using his limited power during a rapidly changing era in American politics? WSHU's Ebong Udama spoke with the Connecticut Mirror's Lisa Hagen to discuss her in-depth reporting on this. Their conversation is part of the collaborative podcast, Long Story Short.
A couple of weeks ago, the U.S. struck Venezuela and captured its president without informing Congress prior to the attack. You say that prompted you to investigate how Jim Hines is handling his role as the ranking Democrat on the Intelligence Committee, considering they were kept in the dark. Tell us a little bit about the role that Jim Hines plays and how he's handling the situation right now.
Yeah, it's a very influential position that he's in as ranking member on the House Intelligence Committee. And so typically, he's part of a very small group of people that can be privy to some of the earliest information on really major military action. And so whether it's been Republican or Democratic administration in more recent years, you know, a lot of the times they haven't been able to give or haven't wanted to give Congress much of a heads up. Typically, maybe they'll tell Congress, you know, right after something happens. So, you know, not all the time are members of Congress getting notified, even seeking congressional approval. But I think what's been interesting for Jim Himes over the last 6 months was whether it was military strikes in Iran or in Venezuela, he not only did not get a heads up, but never heard from anyone in the administration, either right away or for a couple of days, on what happened. And he was finding out just like the rest of the public. So he's kind of been put in this interesting position, given how prominent of a role this is.
Now, tell us a little bit about the Gang of Eight. He's a member of the Gang of Eight. What is the Gang of Eight?
The Gang of Eight, it's a, you know, jargony kind of DC term, but it's a group of eight lawmakers. It is the top Senate and House leaders in both parties. So it's Speaker of the House, Senate Majority Leader, Minority Leader, et cetera. And it's the chairs and ranking members on both the intelligence committees on the Senate and the House side. So Jim Himes had been one of the Gang of Eight since he was elevated to his role as ranking member in 2023. And so again, he gets some of the earliest intelligence and gets briefed by administration officials, you know, usually in cases like this, Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense. And so again, these are a group of eight lawmakers that are supposed to directly hear from the administration, either, you know, early or right after when we're seeing something like a major bombing or strike.
So dealing with the situation the way it is, being kept in the dark, how is he trying to navigate that situation to play a role in what happens going forward, considering we're talking about a number of foreign adventures right now?
Yeah, it seems like, you know, it could be fairly difficult. And it's, you know, because of the sensitive nature of his role, you know, there's only so much he can share publicly. But it sounds like, you know, he's able to kind of go behind the scenes, go through back channels. And so maybe he's not getting FaceTime or direct contact with some of, you know, these major cabinet officials, but he's able to kind of talk to other people, not just the Rubios and the Hegseths, but he's able to talk to other people who he has working relationships with. And, you know, I think he has a reputation on both sides of the aisle of being to be able to work on intelligence matters. And so at least what was been able to be shared with me, it sounds like he's able to kind of talk through some of this and maybe try to insert his opinion and directing sort of military matters going forward. And so it sounds like he's trying to use whatever, you know, sway he has in Congress to do so.
There's been a lot of talk about the War Powers Act and Congress taking more control over how decisions are made. There's been some movement in Congress right now. Is Himes involved in any of that?
Yes, he was mentioning that the House is also going to similarly take up the War Powers Resolution. So the Senate has already passed that. Several Republicans joined Democrats in being able to pass that, reining in the Trump administration from being able to further engage in military action in Venezuela without getting approval from Congress. And so there are going to be similar efforts in the House. And so, you know, we'll see how that plays out. And, you know, this was specifically on military action in Venezuela, but there are probably going to be other efforts in Congress to do similar War Powers Acts in other countries, given the threats coming out of the Trump administration on that.
Now, Lisa, you said speaking with Himes, you got the sense that he feels that a little bit, there's a glimmer of hope that some of this might be reined in by Congress. What does he base that on?
Honestly, on purely politics, it seems like. You know, he was talking about the fact that since there were local and statewide elections happening in several states back in November, including in Connecticut, where Democrats performed really well, and in some cases, maybe even outperformed, he said that kind of kickstarted maybe some Republicans changing their tune. And again, we're only seeing pushback in certain forms, and it's, you know, it's not the entire party, but we are seeing a real realignment in certain ways. And whether that's on the War Powers Act, whether that's on expired Affordable Care Act subsidies. And he's saying the fact that we are currently in an election year. In November, there will be major midterm elections, and the balance of power in Congress could change. He's kind of looking at that as seeing small little shifts in Congress, but again, very small.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Lisa. Really appreciate you doing this, giving us a little bit of insight on how things are working in Congress right now.
Thanks for having me.
Lisa Hagan is the Connecticut Mirror's federal policy reporter based in Washington, D.C. Long Story Short comes from WSHU Public Radio and the Connecticut Mirror. Subscribe to the podcast to hear more from Lisa about how Jim Himes, the top Democrat on the U.S. House Intelligence Committee, is navigating the power struggle between Congress and the White House. Available wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ebong Udama.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, stream online at WSHU.org, or take us with you on the go with the free WSHU app. And join us over on Instagram for the latest news and some fun behind the scenes. We're at WSHU Public Radio. Looking forward to connecting with you on there. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk tomorrow.